Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. Okay, now let's hear what Rick has to share with us today. It's part one of a message called Developing Self-Control.
Anything that is left uncontrolled in your life, even good things, even things that God created, will eventually destroy you. So tonight in our series, as we look at building values, or building our lives on values that last, we're going to look at self-control. And if you'll take out your outline, this is not exactly a quality that a lot of people want to talk about today. We're not really into discipline. We're into whatever feels good, do. Whatever you like to do, do. If it feels good, do it. If you don't feel like doing it, don't worry about it. And if I had put out a big billboard and said, folks, come tonight and hear about self-discipline. You know, some of you said, let's stay home and watch whatever's on tonight. Because it's not exactly an area that people want to talk about. One article recently on the baby boom generation talked about the temper tantrum of a generation comes home to roost. Now, what are they talking about? Well, tonight I want to talk specifically and look at what God has to say about one particular area of self-control, and that is controlling your anger. Because this is an area that all of us have to deal with in one way or the other. Because anger is not just for those, self-control is not just for those who blow up, it's also for those who clam up. You see, most people are one of two in life. They're either a skunk or a turtle, okay? And when a skunk gets in trouble, he stinks the place up, okay? And he just lets her rip, and boy, everybody knows when the skunk's upset, okay? On the other hand, the turtle pulls themselves into the shell, they hide, they cower down, and they don't blow up, they clam up. Now, what I have noticed is that skunks usually marry turtles. Isn't this true? That one of you tends to really just kind of let it all hang out when you get angry, and the other one tends to withdraw and be a little bit more reserved. Both of those are inappropriate forms of anger. And so we both, skunks and turtles, need to learn how to deal with how we feel, how to handle our emotions so that we're not overwhelmed by them. We're going to look at that tonight. Our society, it's very obvious that we don't know how to handle anger, because violence is on the increase, crime is on the increase, profanity is on the increase. I could spend 10, 15 minutes here talking about statistics that you all know about, that half of all murders actually occur between family members, that 342 children are arrested for violent crimes every day, 14 children are murdered every day. And people are getting angry about little things. It seems like as the frustration level rises, so does the anger. I read this week about a guy, a cop, who said, this is the craziest motive I've ever heard, where a guy shot another guy, a busboy shot another guy in a restaurant because the guy didn't know how to put the silverware into the dishwasher. Those kind of things are happening all around us, and we're hearing more and more bizarre forms of violent behavior. Where's all that coming from? I think it's coming from the fact that we live in a real fast-paced society. We're in a hectic kind of urban world where people get stressed out because we're always on the go, and trying to burn the candle at both ends. I think the frustration of there are a lot more irresponsible people in society today, and you have to deal with people who won't do their part, and that's frustrating, and that creates anger. I think the fact that our media saturates us with all kinds of violent behavior that's bound to affect us. So tonight what we're going to look at is, what does God say about how to control it? Because anger is not evil in itself. Anger is not a sin. God gets angry, so obviously it's not a sin. The Bible says that Jesus got angry. It's how you express your anger. And when God made you, He wired you up in such a way that you could get angry. God gave you the capacity to get angry. Now, if you don't learn how to use it wisely, it'll destroy you. But if you use it in the correct way, managed anger actually becomes an asset. there are some things in life that the only proper response is to get angry. When you see somebody taken advantage of, when you see an injustice, if my children were hurt by someone, believe me, anger is an appropriate response. If I don't get angry in some situations, it means I don't care. It means I'm apathetic. It means I don't really love anybody. So I'm not saying today that God says get rid of all anger. What I am saying is that God says you need to learn to manage it. And in the book of Proverbs, God gives us 7 specific suggestions or steps or keys or secrets. And let's get right into it. Number one, he says if you're going to learn to control your anger, the first thing you've got to do is resolve to control it. Resolve to control it. That means quit saying you can't control it and start realizing you can. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you stop making excuses and you start accepting responsibility for your reactions. Now look at these verses. First, Proverbs 29:11. Let's read this aloud together. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Now I want you to circle the word keeps, because that is an act of the will. It's something that you choose to do. And if you don't get anything else I say tonight, get this. Anger is a choice. Just like every other emotion, anger is a choice. When I worry, that's my choice. When I get depressed, that's my choice. I don't have to be. When I get discouraged, I'm choosing to be discouraged. When I'm happy, I'm choosing to be happy. And when I'm angry, I am choosing to be angry. Now, we don't like to admit this, but we have a lot more control over our anger than we want to admit. For instance, have you ever been in a fight with a boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or your children, and, you're really in fighting words, and you're pretty loud and voracious, and, the temperature's rising, and words are being shot back and forth, and all of a sudden the telephone rings, and you pick up, you've been talking like this, and you're real angry, and all of a sudden you pick up the phone, hello? Oh, yes, he's here. It's for you, honey. Now, what just happened? You chose to control your anger. Why? Because at that point, there was an appropriate time that you felt, I don't want to show this. And so you do have more control over your anger than you think you do. That's why the Bible says that we resolve to control it. Now, resolve simply means to decide in advance. And this is the first key. If you're serious about learning how to use anger rather than abuse it, you got to start in advance. It happens before you hit the boiling point. You have to make some preparation. You have to do some planning. You have to develop some strategies and procedures, which we're going to look at tonight. And you have to do it in advance of the crisis. That's what it means to resolve, to decide in advance that I'm going to control my anger with God's help. Now, why would I do that? Because number two, because I need to realize the cost. If I realize that all anger has a price tag, I'm more likely to control it. When I realize the cost of uncontrolled anger, then I'm less likely to give in to it. Now, the Bible's very specific about the cost of uncontrolled anger. Look at these, Proverbs 29:22. Read it with me. A hot-tempered man gets into all kinds of trouble. Would any of you like to stand up and give a testimony about this verse? Okay? Now, let's the Bible's word, the true word of God, whether you believe it or not, but let's just vote on these. How about this? Hot tempers cause mistakes. How many of you agree with that one? All right? How about this one? Hot tempers cause arguments. Anger causes mistakes. Yeah? How about this one? The Bible says, people with hot tempers do foolish things. Sure. You ever seen somebody really mad do something absolutely stupid, make a fool of themselves? Well, we do. And there are all kinds of costs involved. You're never going to get to the top if you keep blowing yours. Now, in Proverbs 11, verse 29, notice it says, the fool who provokes his family to anger and resentment will finally have nothing worthwhile left. Now, here's what the Bible's saying. You always lose when you lose your temper. You always lose when you lose your temper. You may lose your reputation. You may lose your children. You may lose the love of your husband or your wife. You may lose your job. But when you let anger go uncontrolled in your life, you always, always lose. There is a price tag. And honestly, it's not worth it. The Bible says you can even lose your own family and finally have nothing worthwhile left. You know, as parents, we're often tempted to use anger to motivate. Why? Because it works in the short term. And when you say, I want you to get up right now and get upstairs and do this, this, and this, and you're getting very angry, yeah, well, you might put the fear of God in them or the fear of you in them, and they short-term obedience. But in the long term, you're going to lose. Because anger always causes us to lose. And the end result of anger is alienation. And you alienate the very people that you love the most. And the ultimate result of anger is more anger back, and finally just apathy. I don't care. They're always unpleasable. I can't please them at all. I give up. Anger, apathy, alienation. That's the result of anger. Now, number three, if I realize the cost and I resolve to control it, now we get to some practical steps. Number three, I must restrain my mouth. I must restrain my mouth. In other words, I got to think before I speak, because inevitably, anger control is mouth control. Now, Proverbs 21:23 says in the New Living Translation, well, let's read it aloud together with great enthusiasm, okay? If you keep your mouth shut, you will stay out of trouble. That would be a great memory verse this week. Have you noticed that you cannot put your foot in your mouth when it's closed? The Bible says that even a fool is considered wise if he says nothing. And so, keep your mouth shut and you'll stay out of trouble. God says anger is largely a matter of mouth control. Now, the problem is we like to talk. And the more we talk, the more likely we are to say the wrong thing. For instance, you will have about 30 conversations a day. You'll spend 1/5 of your life talking. In 1 year, you will speak enough words to fill 53 1,000-page books. The average man speaks 20,000 words a day. The average woman? Now, you think I'm setting you up here, don't you? The average woman speaks 30,000 words a day. Now, that man, let me explain this. Those of you who are husbands, this is why both of you can go to work. You come home, you're dead tired. She still has a 10,000-word surplus. Okay? And she needs to express that to you. You know. One guy said, do you resent it when your wife has the last word? He said, no, I'm just glad when she gets to it. I think I better not stay on this point very long. Maybe we're just moving right along. I like this poem that said, a wise old owl sat in an oak, and the more he saw, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Let's try to be more like that bird. You need to restrain your mouth. Why? Well, James tells us why. In the book of James, we have a formula. The Bible says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Now listen, this is a formula. If you do the first two, the third one is inevitable. If you are quick to speak, no. If you are slow to speak and you are quick to listen, then you are inevitably going to be slow to anger. On the other hand, if you are slow to listen and quick to speak, you're going to be quick to anger. The Bible says it starts with restraining my mouth. If I can control my mouth, now the Bible says nobody can control their mouth on their own power. It takes God's power to do this, because that's the ultimate form of emotional maturity, the ability to control your mouth. But to do that, you need to understand that some of the things you've been taught about anger just aren't true. For instance, one of the myths about anger is that everybody kind of has this reservoir, maybe like a bucket of anger. And then when that bucket gets filled up, you need to pour it out. And once it's poured out, then you'll feel a whole lot better and you'll be peaceful again. That's not true. You see, people think, well, if I have this bucket of anger, it just gets filled to brim. If I hold it in, well, it's terrible. What I need to do is just spew it all out on everybody, and then it's empty. The problem is, you don't have a bucket of anger in your heart. You have a factory. You have a factory. That's what God says. And study after study after study shows that releasing anger only creates more anger. That aggression, being aggressive, actually creates more aggression. And being loud and angry creates more anger back at you, which only creates it more. It does not relieve. It does not reduce. In fact, it multiplies. Because you don't have just a bucket of anger. You got a whole lot more than that. You have an ability to keep producing it. And so the Bible says, learn to restrain your mouth. Number four, I need to reflect before reacting. Reflect before reacting. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 29, verse 11. He says, think before you speak. Don't respond impulsively. Let's read this verse together. A stupid man gives free rein to his anger, but a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Circle the word waits. A wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Now, I like this because did you know that cool it is a biblical term? Okay? God says, cool it. In fact, long before there were baby busters, God was saying, when you get angry, chill. Okay? Chill out. Just cool down. Calm down. Because that's the way you deal with it. Now, delay is a tremendous remedy for anger. Now, I don't mean delaying indefinitely. If you've got an issue you need to deal with your wife or your husband, you need to deal with it. Because anger delayed indefinitely becomes bitterness. And that's worse than anger. Because bitterness is always a sin. Anger isn't. But you need to deal with it after a while. If you respond impulsively, you're going to tend to respond in anger. If you wait a little bit and you let it cool and then you begin to talk with it, you're going to be more rational, more reasonable, and deal with it. The longer you hold your temper, the better it gets. And you give yourself time to think. It says, a wise man waits and lets it grow cool. Now, what do you do when you think? Well, let me give you five things. If you write the little word down, T-H-I-N-K, here's what you ought to do before you speak. T stands for, is it truthful? Is it truthful? Before you say it, is it the truth? H, is it helpful? Is it helpful or is it going to just harm? The Bible says in Ephesians, you should only speak helpful words that build up others. I, is it inspirational? You know, does it build up or does it tear down? N, is it necessary? If it's not necessary, don't say it. Now, some things aren't necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary, so you don't need to say it. And then K, is it kind? Is it kind? So you think before you speak. And that's what you do. You reflect before reacting. Now, what do you do during that delay while you're waiting? You try to figure out why you're angry. You try to understand it. Notice this verse. The Proverbs tells us in chapter 19, verse 11, a man's wisdom gives him patience. The more you understand, the more understanding you'll be. The more understand yourself, the more understanding you will be of other people. The more you understand your husband or your wife, the more understanding you will be of your husband or wife. The more you understand your children, the more understanding you will be toward your children. A man's wisdom gives him patience. And so what do? You try to analyze and ask yourself three questions. You might write these down. One, why am I angry? Why am I angry? You know, what's the cause behind it? Two, what do I really want? What do I really want? And three, how can I get it? Why am I angry? What do I really want? And how can I get it? Because blowing up is rarely the way to get what you want. Now, you need to understand that when you get angry, that's not your real problem. No, anger is always a symptom of the real problem. Anger is a warning light. Bop, 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 bop. It's bright and it's shining and it's saying, hey, notice that something's wrong. Tilt. It's out of kilter. And when you summarize it down, there are three basic reasons for anger. And when you get angry, it's usually one of these three things. Am I hurting? Am I frustrated? Or am I afraid? because these are the three things that cause anger: hurt, frustration, and fear. Hurt, frustration, and fear. Now, when you understand the cause, it's a whole lot easier to deal with the cause than it is to deal with anger. For instance, hurt. When we are wounded, we get angry. Have you ever, for instance, really stubbed your toe? When you stub your toe, that reaction is not grief. That's anger, isn't it? It's anger. Have you ever, like, been nailing a nail into wood with a hammer, and all of a sudden you hit your thumb, and you don't go, "Oh, I'm grieved in my spirit." At least we don't do that around our house. It's going, oh, man, and you're angry, you know? And the emotions are coming out. Why? Because when you hurt, hurt turns into anger. Now, this is very important, particularly if you're married, because a lot of times when your spouse is angry with you, they're just hurt. They're hurt. And it's easier to deal with hurt than it is anger. If I come to you and I say, "I'm really ticked off at you," your reaction is build up a wall and become defensive. On the other hand, if I say, "You know, it hurt me when you said that. And here's how it hurt me," you're more likely to be sympathetic toward that. We're always more sympathetic to hurt than we are to anger. And so if you can learn that when you're angry, say, "What this is, it's, I was hurt. That hurt me when you said that." The person you're angry at is more likely to able to deal with it if you tell them what the real cause is. And then, of course, frustration causes anger. Anytime we have to wait, anytime something is out of our control, when a goal that we're trying to move towards seems to just be unreachable, like I try every night to get the kids in bed by 9 o'clock. And it just won't happen. And finally you go, "Get in bed." Okay, what's happening there? Frustration, hurt, frustration, and then fear. We always get angry when we get afraid. The more insecure a person is, the harder time they have with their temper. People who are self-secure in Christ, people who have confidence, who know where they stand with God, they're not as likely to be angry at things. It's when we're insecure, when I feel like you don't value me, or when I feel like you don't understand what I said and it didn't matter to you, that's going to make me angry. And so when you could say, "I am afraid that you don't value what I say. I'm afraid that you think I'm worthless. I'm afraid," and you can tell. Now, you know, we don't like to admit it when we're angry. You know, you say, "I can tell you're angry." "Oh, no, I'm not angry." Yes, you are. "I can tell." "No, I'm not. You're angry." "No, I'm not." You know, why is it we don't want to admit it? It is an emotion that God gave you and is very appropriate in certain circumstances. When you're hurt, when you're frustrated, when you're afraid. But it's how you deal with it that makes a difference. And so that leads us to the fifth suggestion that God says. He says, "I need to release my anger appropriately." Release my anger appropriately. Ephesians 4:26. Let's read this verse aloud together. "If you become angry, don't let your anger lead you into sin." Now, look at that verse. Does that indicate that there's a way to be angry and not sin? Yes. Because it says, if you become angry, don't let it lead you to sin. It is not automatically a sin to get angry. So there are appropriate ways and there are inappropriate ways to get angry. There are helpful ways and there are harmful ways. There are ways that work and ways that don't work. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. So it's all in how you deal with it, how you release it. The problem is most of us express our anger in ways that get us further from the goal instead of moving us closer to the goal. So what's the right way to deal with anger? Well, let me give you three ways not to deal with anger first. The Bible says first, don't suppress it. Don't suppress it, your anger. Now, suppression means to store it up inside. You're not denying it. You know it's there, but you just bottle it all up. And if you just keep pushing it down, suppressing, it's kind of like if you were to take a Coke bottle and shake it up, one day it's going to pop. It's going to pop. And if you swallow your anger, your stomach's going to keep score. okay? Or your back, or your headache, or any number of other physical things that doctors tell us are often brought on by suppressed anger. If you don't talk it out, then you're going to take it out on your body. Does that make sense? So don't suppress it. The Bible doesn't say do that. That's not being Christian, just saying, oh, I'm going to just shove it all down. Number two, don't repress it. Don't repress it. Now, in repression, you don't just push it down. You just totally deny it. I am not angry. Everything is fine. Yes, my husband is an alcoholic who is totally irresponsible, but everything's just fine. Yes, my wife spends more money, or my husband spends more money than we can possibly make, and we're always in debt, but it's okay. We're fine. That's called denial. And what's happening there is you are repressing your anger. Now, when you repress it enough, it freezes, and frozen anger has a word for it. Are you ready? Depression. Depression. A lot of times I've met with couples when I used to do marriage counseling, and I talk to them, and they come and say, I'm so depressed. And what I really wanted to say, stop saying you're depressed. Admit it. I'm angry. I'm angry. I'm angry at my husband, or I'm angry at my wife, but because I'm a Christian, I don't think I can express anger. Therefore, I'm going to push it down. I'm going to freeze it. And frozen anger is called depression. It's frozen rage. Don't repress it, and don't suppress it. Number three, don't express it in inappropriate ways. By the way, when you deny that you're angry, that's called lying. And that in itself is a sin. You say, well, I'm not angry, when you really are. That's being dishonest. God doesn't want you to be dishonest. You want to see an honest example of anger, just go read the Psalms. The thing I love about the Psalms is David just tells it like it is. He spills his guts, and sometimes he goes, God, life stinks. God, life is unfair. My enemies are all against me. Things aren't going good, and I'm not so excited about you right now either. And you know what? And God is not shocked by this. God doesn't go, oh, really? I'm going to fall off of my throne in heaven because you're upset. No, God can handle your anger. It's okay. And just, if you want to know how to pray in anger, go read the Psalms. Because after he gets it all out, he goes, now, God, okay, I know you're going to help me with this. And where else can I turn but to you? Because nobody else has the answers. So you don't repress it, don't suppress it, don't express it. Now, we can express it in a lot of wrong ways. Some of you are pouters. In fact, you have a PhD in pouting. And when you pout, you get so pouty. And your lip gets about 5 inches long. And everybody has to walk around on pins and needles or eggshells around you, like, because pretty pouty Paula is right there, you know? And you're just, you know, everybody has to baby you because you're upset. Others of you, you're not pouters. You're just sarcastic. And you whip that tongue out and, you know, you are an expert at cold cuts. Okay? You got that spice tongue down real good there, you know, that deli meat. And it's, you know, spice tongue, cold cuts. I want to tell you what, a sharp tongue will cut your own throat. And that sarcasm will come back to haunt you. And you may feel good, and you may feel witty, and you may feel like, I got him. But what you're doing is destroying a relationship. Because you hurt people with your words. Others of you, you're not sarcastic, you're not pouters, you're manipulators. And your goal is, don't get mad, get even. And so you figure out a way to get back. It may be passive resistance, it may be doing this or that, but you figure out a way to get back and express your anger. And then, of course, there are lots of crazy behaviors. Some people get drunk. Some people have affairs. The book of Job, it says you're only hurting yourself with your anger. So what do? You don't blow your stack. That causes air pollution. You don't confess. You don't repress it, suppress it, express it. You confess it. You confess it. Now what that means is you admit it, and you not only admit it, you admit the cause. You say, I'm upset, and here's why. I'm hurting. I'm frustrated. I'm afraid. I feel threatened. And in that relationship, the more honest you can be, the more easy it is to deal with the root causes of your anger.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
Today, I want to share with you a very special testimony from one of our listeners named Marquita. And thanks to Daily Hope and your support, she recently asked Jesus Christ to be the leader of her life. Here's her story. So, Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know that I have prayed the prayer of salvation that you included in the Deepening the Eyes of Faith message. I've been listening to your messages for years. In fact, my child wouldn't even be here today if it weren't for your words. You wrote, "There may be accidental parents, but there are no accidental children." Well, I've given birth to a beautiful baby girl, and she's the light of my life. In fact, it now hurts to remember a time that I was fighting to decide whether I was going to have her or not. But I repeated your words throughout my pregnancy. There are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children. And although I'm a single mom today, with the support of my family, we're thriving. I want to make sure that she grows up to find her purpose and to serve God. So thanks for renewing my faith in God. And as I still try to find and fulfill my purpose, please pray for me and my child. Wow. Marquita, you are so right. God does have a plan and a purpose for every single baby. There are no accidental babies. So I want to take a moment right now and just pray for you in this broadcast. I pray for you and for your daughter. Lord, I'm asking you right now to put your hand of protection, your hand of blessing, your hand of guidance on Marquita and her daughter. And I'm praying for both of them to know your purpose, to feel your presence, to discover your power, to live in your plan for each of their lives, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks so much, Rick. You know, Rick would love to hear from you and know how this broadcast has blessed you and touched you, so please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.